Welcome to the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. I'm Andy Hughes, I'm here with Alex Hudson.
Hello, hello. I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello. It's the Beatles.
Great choice.
Thank you.
Really good song.
No more
really,
songs start with hello.
Really strong.
So I had to go with a chorus.
Welcome to the midweek special where we talk news and reviews.
News and reviews.
Thank you.
Just reiterating that point. This week's reviews are Blair Witch.
Yep.
Tony Blair's new Tony Blair's film new about witches. What's the other ones that we were reviewing?
Conjuring 2.
And The Neon Demon. Oh, hang on. This is just an episode where I review
films. This is an episode of you reviewing films and me going, I didn't watch any films this week.
Sure it is.
Start over with news.
Okay, news hound. Let's what have you snuffled out with your news truffle nose?
Smash some news out, yeah?
Yes.
First bit of news.
Headline.
DC.
Ugh, the worst.
Have yes. Announced Harley Quinn solo movie.
Okay, I'm off board.
Produced by Margot Robbie. Jared Leto. And it's going to be Harley Quinn and other ladies of the DC universe. Excited much?
Just go away.
Tell me, is your opinion on DC doing a Harley Quinn movie?
When's it slated for, do we know?
Okay. I don't think they've actually...
Sometime after Justice League and Batman, I'm guessing.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so, go away and die in a hole forever, please. Not to her, but to the idea of any of these things now.
Did you like Harley Quinn Suicide Squad?
No. Well, she was fine, but she wasn't anything special. I didn't think the performance was particularly brilliant. I think she tried her best with something that was pretty poor.
What would you have preferred as a spin-off from Suicide Squad?
Which of the characters have a spin-off?
That's not Slipknot.
None. Honestly, none.
What about Captain Boomerang?
I'm quite happy seeing none of those people.
What about
ever
Captain
again?
Boomerang spin-off? It's all about him robbing every bank in Australia.
All right, tell you what.
Every bank in Australia.
Here.
How many banks do you think are in Australia?
7.
Okay.
There's
a lot
only
quicker,
7.
A lot quicker than I thought it would be.
And I actually know the name of one brand of. Oh, God.
Oh, don't say you know facts.
My ex-housemate used to bank with them, and it's a. It's a bank that is basically...
Adelaide Banking.
No, it's like a mining town. It's set up. Dan, what's the bank that you bank with? Or that you did bank with?
What's your account number?
Well, don't tell them that, obviously, Dan. Oh, this isn't a conversation. Okay.
I will also have...
Dan, I'll be in contact.
Sort code, if offered.
I don't know if that's a thing in Australia.
Australian sort code, please.
Okay, oh, it's a sword code, mate.
I thought you were talking about the film Source Code for a second.
It's a good film.
Is it?
Yeah.
Never seen it.
What?
Nah. Should I have?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. Duncan
Next
Jones.
Week, I'm going to review Source Code. Yeah. So which character would you have wanted from
None.
Suicide Squad?
Oh, okay, fine.
If you had to pick one.
The pink unicorn out of Captain Boomerang's jacket.
You want to know...
I want to know, basically, when did he find it? That's literally all I want to
post
see.
Post-Suicide Squad or pre-Suicide
short
Squad?
Short film. Oh, pre-Suicide Squad. I don't want to see anything after what we've just
You don't
witnessed.
Want to see how it dealt with the aftermath of fighting...
Of big fucking concrete donut in the sky. No, I don't want to... I want to see the aftermath of that, because I saw the aftermath. The aftermath is, oh, well, Viola Davis comes over and looks all stern, and then apparently they all go back to prison, and one of them's got a TV in his room. Oh, great. Oh, and Harley Quinn's got an espresso machine, which I imagine will probably crop up in the next film. Oh, but she escaped. Spoiler alert, she doesn't make it to the end of the film. Well, she does, but she gets broken out of the prison.
So,
second piece of news, but to... die! This shouldn't happen!
Why not?
I don't want to... I'm not interested... Like, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, hey, women are good, and let's make our own version of Ghostbusters... Because Harley Quinn's fun and funny, and the problem is she just wasn't.
Excited.
No, I can always guarantee
Halloween, where you're going to see about 600 Harley Quinns walking around.
Guess what? I'm not going to go out on Halloween. You know why?
Why not?
Because I don't live in America in the 1980s. I live in the UK in the 2010s, when any sane person, if they go around dressed as Harley Quinn... I will give them a swift punch to the nose, because they deserve
Does
this.
The film Hocus Pocus...
The film Hocus make, Pocus makes me so mad.
Make you want to celebrate Halloween more or less?
I'd say that the film Hocus Pocus makes me want to celebrate Kathy Najimy's work as an actress, because she is top class.
Do you
that
believe...
Rat Race, she's all over the place.
Sarah Jessica Parker's best or worst work?
I mean, best and worst possible. She's bad in everything. No, she's not bad in everything. She's good in a couple of things, probably. I can't think of them off the top of my head. Second piece of news, please. Let's not talk about Halloween, because I don't want to think about Harley Quinns.
Okay. Did you ever play the Mass Effect games?
I don't want to know if you're daddy's little monster, right? I don't want to know that stuff.
Did you ever play the Mass Effect games?
I've played one once for about 5 minutes and then realised it was released after 2005 and couldn't get involved.
And it wasn't Alien Isolation,
and
of course.
And it isn't Alien. That is the only post-2005 game I will be happy to purchase.
So you've never played them?
I'm aware of what they are. They're space games and they've got multiple strands that you can go on depending on how you play converse the game with people. Sure.
Well, the recent new one, which is Mass Effect Andromeda.
12. They've just... 4. Okay, so they got rid of the numbers. They just went...
It's because it's a separate part of the story. To
okay,
the
tell, me about, tell me about Mass Effect
I
Andromeda.
I don't know much about it, but I know that apparently it looks... Like, I've seen clips of it, and it looks incredible.
Is
like,
this
looks
for the
like
PlayStation?
Really, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, maybe PC, maybe the Wii U.
The Nintendo, I was going to say.
Yeah, maybe.
Is the Nintendo,
maybe you could do it on the Wii.
Is the GameCube going to be involved?
Yes, the GameCube is okay. The
and is it released for PSP?
Platform. No.
Is it released for Nintendo Game Boy Advance SP?
They could only get on the 3DS, actually.
3DS, oh, yeah. No one bought that.
Makes you like feel like you're really in space.
Yeah, as long as space, your concept of space is a 2-inch screen.
But it comes out at...
Sorry, two-inch
screen. It comes out at some point, I don't think it's later this year, I think it's next year.
Okay.
I don't.
I mean,
know.
This will pass me by, but when it does come out.
They've announced a competition, which is really cool, which is
be in the game.
Yeah, it actually is.
Be a character.
Have you heard about this?
Mate, or have you just everyone's assumed? Done this. Mario got in a game. He's just a fan.
You say Mario was just some guy who's just like
Mario's a competition.
Hey, I would like to be in the game.
Mario. Yeah. Up until that point, he was supposed to be like a Japanese businessman. That character. And then they were like, hey, this plumber from Queens who's got a weird Italian accent that doesn't sound right, he's applied. What's his name? Mario. What's his brother called? Luigi Mario. What's his cousin called? Wario Mario. What's his brother called? Waluigi Mario. What does he ride? A green fucking dinosaur. And he's got this girlfriend that he cannot keep out of the sewers. Okay, so they've done a competition. Is it open now?
Yeah.
Fuck it, I might apply.
You can either voice a journalist or a mercenary. And you've got the voice of the most mercenary journalist I've ever heard.
Okay.
But yeah, basically, they've got bits of script and you put it in. They're judging it 40% on voice performance.
I have got an exception.
Only
voice.
40%. Do your best mercenary. Say, Mr. Mass Effect, I need you to stop doing what you're doing or I'll shoot you in the face.
Mr. Mass Effect, I need you to stop doing what you're doing.
Why is it so quiet?
Because it's got to be menacing.
Why is he just
ask me to do my journalist.
Okay, do your journalist.
Oh, what do you know, see? I've heard about this Spider-Man.
Oh, please enter the competition
I'm going to go 1920s sort of wise guy journalist.
But no, it's really cool. It's cool because Mass Effect's such a big game. You know, it's really well regarded. Like, especially the second entry is like one of the best games of all time. And it's nice that they're allowing the fans to be part of it.
Yeah.
Especially with the sprawling nature of those games, to be part of those games is pretty cool.
Yeah, sure.
Marvel.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Fine. Let's move on.
Marvel.
It wasn't worth what I was going to say. Marvel.
Because
okay.
There's always some DC news and some Marvel news every week.
Got to keep the haters
off. What have we been doing news on like every week so far?
Spider-Man.
We haven't got any Spider-Man news this
week. That's fine. We're not going to miss
it. Marvel.
Yes.
Iron Man 3. Have you heard news about Iron Man 3?
It's been re-released.
No, because I would cry. Rebecca Hall's from Iron Man 3, who played the female scientist.
Yes.
Her role was supposed to be the antagonist.
Yeah, I knew that.
In the film. And Shane Black came out with it a while ago. And she's reiterated that it's actually true that apparently she was supposed to have Aldred Killian's role.
Yes.
But it was reduced due to toy sales.
Yes.
And they went, she would never sell toys.
Yeah.
But it's actually been confirmed that, it's not Shane Black just saying shit.
Oh, well, I just believe Shane Black when he said it.
I don't, because I don't believe Shane Black should make superhero movies. So...
Oh, I think he should, because they're not superhero
movies. I'm going to go punch him straight in the...
Well, the thing is...
Swear word. I was going to say something really naughty.
House. In the house. Punch him in his house. I like it.
I don't. and I hate you for it.
I like the news, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's but a female...
No, just in general, I like the news. Okay. I'm trying out for the journalist position, aren't I?
But yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame that they felt that...
What do you know?
It's a shame they felt that a female antagonist wouldn't work.
It's not a shame. It's stupid. It's stupidity on Disney's part.
And it's nice that now they're finally going to go all in Brie Larson and just go, let's give them a female protagonist, you know.
But again, it feels ridiculous that they've been beaten to the punch on this by DC, who've only been doing it for a couple of years. Don't worry, Marvel, DC will manage to fuck up Wonder Woman as well.
Because they'll find out. Because
it doesn't look brilliant.
There'll be a mention in it that Wonder Woman has a penis and is secretly a man.
Mm.
That's how DC will fuck
up. I imagine that Wonder Woman's going to supposed to be the protagonist, but you'll end up having Chris Pine playing whoever he is.
Steve Trevor.
Steve Rogers. Yeah. And he will become the main protagonist of the piece. It'll be like Wonder Woman plus Steve Rogers.
Final bit of news.
I will keep calling him Steve Rogers.
I noticed. Final bit of news.
Yeah.
Now, I can't take credit for this because this is... I've definitely pointed...
I mean, I don't think you can take credit for any of the news. I don't think you're there going, by the way, guys.
Breaking news. Okay. Have you got any breaking news this week?
Shut up.
Okay.
Not now. Not now.
Jason, who's been on the podcast before...
I'm aware.
...put me in the direction of an article where... what's his face from Star Wars? Adam George Driver. Lucas.
I mean, there were so many options there. I could have said anyone. I could have said fucking the guy who played Jango Fett.
Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Has come out and said that the new one has a more serious atmosphere. And he likened
as in episode
it,
eight.
And he likened it to Empire Strikes Back. And Jason messaged me going, probably because it's going to be Empire Strikes Back.
It's a good chance.
But it's like, stop putting them in these holes of the previous films.
Yeah, if you want people to stop drawing comparisons, then stop mentioning the fact that they're basically the same film.
Even if it is Empire Strikes Back-ish, in fact, it goes darker, you know.
Well, I think it's just going to be about the fact that everyone in that family is still related. And that no one is who they seem.
And nobody seems to have picked it up.
Mm. And they're all banging.
All banging.
Luke definitely got with Leia. And that is the great untold shame of the Star Wars universe.
And he's about to bang Rey, who may or may not be his daughter.
Whoa. Won't that be weird when he's having sex with Rey? I imagine they'll show. Like, that's going to be the cold open of episode 8. They'll be like, the title scroll will go across it, like, in a fucking galaxy far, far away, Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. And it'll be like, there's unrest in the Force because Luke's just banged his daughter. And then it'll just open with them just going, so, who's your dad? And it's like, never met him. It's like, who's your daughter? Never met her. Oh, shit.
When he said, who's your daddy, he means it a lot more literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's news.
Okay. Good news.
Good news that is over.
Good that the news is over.
Okay, so we're going to do some reviews?
Yeah, let's talk about films that I've seen.
You're going to do some reviews?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so three reviews this week, first of which is Blair Witch, which is the second sequel to The Blair Witch Project from 1999, which basically came out in a year where the internet was still a new enough thing and was being utilised by filmmakers quite creatively. I mean, that was at the time where sort of...
War Games.
Okay, I was going to go with the fact that the episode 1 trailer got released and was like the most... like crashed the internet or something. Yeah.
So it's spending 4 hours to download a 30-second trailer.
It was like an Apple trailer or something. And
QuickTime. Yeah, it was QuickTime.
And it was...
Apple used to have their website. I used to literally spend hours on that website just searching through trailers.
And then no one ever goes on the Apple website anymore.
No.
Because everyone is aware that you can get them cheaper off Amazon. Whatever they are. Trailers, you know. So... They did a sequel in, I think, in 2001, 2002, called Blair Witch 2 Book of Shadows. Very loosely related to the first one.
Treasure 2 Book of Secrets.
Yeah, the weird thing is, the Book of Shadows doesn't exist. There isn't a Book of Shadows in the whole
film. Book of Secrets didn't either.
Oh, yeah, well, that's it. It was a figment of your imagination. Yeah.
I really need a sequel to National Treasure.
No, but it's not a good sequel. It's fine. It's just not anything to write home about. But then again, I don't believe that the Blair Witch Project was that good. I think it was fine. I think the real sort of winner of that was the fact that the marketing department were doing it in such a good way. I don't think the film itself was actually that great. I don't think it revolutionised the genre in the way that it... Okay, well, you know, it might be worth watching. I
just know it had a snotty-nosed woman in it.
Yeah. The protagonist of Blair Witch is her brother.
Of course.
So this is years down the line where he wants to find out what actually happened to her, despite there being documentary evidence, in inverted commas, of what happened to her. Now, the problem with it is... it's not good. It is a sequel that is basically unnecessary in that no one has requested this. No one wanted a sequel to the Blair Witch Project because actually it didn't need a sequel. It was what it was. And that as a self-contained story was good enough. And the reason that people are so surprised that there's a second sequel already, because they don't remember there's a first sequel. Like, Book of Shadows isn't remembered by people. So
does it make any reference to Book of Shadows?
No, not that I could work out.
Okay.
But again, you know, why would you try and make reference to that? This feels like the sort of true sequel to it.
Okay.
But it just isn't doing anything with the genre that hasn't already been done to death. And I've seen a lot of reviews, people say, hey, Blair Witch has now revolutionised the found footage genre. It's in the same way that its predecessor did. Now, I don't think that's true at all. I think we've got to a point with found footage where, by and large, it's just so by the numbers and plodding and just beat after beat, you know exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, this film is telegraphed. You can see everything that happens in it. One by one, you go, right, check that off the list, check that off the list. And it ends exactly the way you expect it to end. And the problem is, you walk out of the cinema and just go, that's a film I'm not going to remember.
That was a nothing film.
In a week, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
And it'll make a lot of money because it's a sequel to a cult successful film. I say a cult film. It got widespread appeal at the time. It wasn't something that had to build it up on DVD. It was because of the marketing campaign. It was done so well. But again, I just don't feel like, you know, I've never regarded Blair Witch Project as being a great film. I've regarded it as being a very clever marketing exercise, and that's about it. It's a functional film. It doesn't do anything necessarily that brilliant. And to be honest, if you're going to judge it for the fruits that it provided, all of found footage sort of stemmed after that in the modern era. You had things like Cannibal Holocaust in the 1970s, 1980s. That was the first sort of found footage film. You've had terrible...
Project X.
Yeah, even Project X. Like, this is the thing, the found footage stuff then starts branching out into other things. While it works in some cases, you know, one example, Unfriended last year, is a found footage film that all takes place on the laptop screen.
Yeah.
That's doing stuff that... what was the other film that did that really well? Open Windows. But again, it was something that... at least that was sticking to the premise that it tried to do and was trying to do a found footage film in a way that was slightly...
yeah.
But it wasn't quite found footage. Again, it's playing with the genre and it's trying to do something different with it. That's what I liked about Unfriended. That's what I didn't like about Blair Witch is that it just felt so sort of hit the same beats.
Yeah.
Every time. It's not a film I'd recommend at all. It's not a film that I would rush out to see anytime soon. Yes, I have got my T-shirt on Inside Out.
I just look at it, just like...
you need I realised this earlier. I came home today and I put it on Inside Out and I have not changed it. I did think about stripping off in the garden, but I thought that would be weird.
Keep that in the episode.
Okay, so, seconds.
what else did you see?
We'll mix it up. We won't go straight horror. We'll go with The Neon Demon.
Okay, yeah, because I was interested in this.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to see it, but you have. Yeah. Explain what the Neon Demon is first.
Neon Demon is the most recent film from Nicholas Winding Refn, who did Drive and Only God Forgives, and a bunch of other movies as well, but those are the two recent ones that he's probably most known for. Drive is an exceptional film. I really like Drive. Only God Forgives has got a lot of problems. This... I wanted to like it.
Okay.
So basically, the story is a young girl goes to LA to become a model. And she's like a 16-year-old girl. She's run away and she's decided this is what she's going to do. And it's all about her sort of diving into that world and finding out that there's a lot of twists and turns there, and that people aren't to be trusted and people aren't quite what they seem, or no one's necessarily upfront about what they want from her. No one's straight-faced with her. There's a lot of twists and turns. There's a lot of people backstabbing each other to try and get ahead.
It sounds like the modelling version of Black Swan.
And actually, that might be the best way to sum it up in a sentence. It's trying to look at the psychology behind it. It's trying to look at how it affects people. It's trying to look at, but in a very sort of removed way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel real. It feels very... It feels alien, the film. It's got this weird sort
like
of...
Like Alien?
It wishes it felt like Alien. It feels like a film that isn't of this world, okay. In the sense that you can recognise the characters, and you can recognise that the world that they're in is our world, but the sort of world that they're living in within that world isn't quite human, isn't quite normal.
Hmm.
And as a result... the film sort of falls apart. And, I can understand that's probably the intention behind it, is that it is supposed to sort of dissect it and say, oh, well, it's a very strange sort of situation to be in this modelling profession. And you think, yes, it is, but all the evidence you provide for me is just, I mean, I get that it's a cutthroat industry, and I get that people are out for their own good. However... there's only so many times I can watch that.
Do you think it shows it better than, say, Whiplash, which has a similar sort of...
No, not. I mean, it's nowhere near the same level as Whiplash. Whiplash is a brilliant film in terms of... It tells you about a world that you're not a part of, but again, it's a very elite world.
Yeah.
It's a very sort of cutthroat industry. And that is a very human story that is sort of set against this sort of war background almost, because you've got the drill sergeant, you've got the guy training to be in the war, and the war being that industry.
Yeah.
And then he comes on at the end, and, you know, the thing that happens at the end happens at the end. Neon Demon, it feels very much style over substance, and I understand that a lot of Nicholas Winding Refn's work is stylistic, and heavily so. This was the first time that I really felt like the balance had switched so heavily in style over substance that actually I was bored by what he was trying to say. And I don't think, you know, maybe I didn't grasp exactly what he was trying to get at with this film, but I think it was because the film just switched me off entirely. And I just thought, you know what? I think I know what this is trying to say, but I have no intention of finding out if what I'm thinking is correct.
Yeah, I've heard very mixed things about it. I've heard some people say it's great, other people say it's not
one of these
great
ones. I think I've heard a couple of people say it was their film of the year. Fine, if it is, then I can understand why. Because if you like that sort of thing, it's probably right up your street. And if you like Nicholas Winding Refn a lot, I imagine you're going to have better feelings towards this. I like him fine. I don't think he's quite the modern genius that everyone thinks he is.
Would you recommend?
As an interesting watch, yes.
Okay.
Particularly to see what your opinion might be. I think it's one that toes the line so sort of dangerously that it can switch either way.
We'll come back to it in a couple of weeks' time. I'll give it a watch and I'll let you know what I think of it.
And who knows, it might be mentioned in the end of year show when you say that it's the best film of the year.
It's got to be Creed. It's got to be some tough.
And finally this week, Conjuring 2. The Enfield case, or whatever it was called. The subtitle was, I think, The Enfield Case, or The Enfield Haunting, or something. Conjuring 1 I watched this year for the first time, and I surprisingly enjoyed it. I thought it was a much better film than it had any right to be. I think it sort of had problems, a fair few of them, but in terms of sort of... I'd group it in with sort of sinister and insidious in terms of... it's still trying to explore that sort of thing, just more grounded in reality, because it's all based on true events.
That's my reaction to it, by the way.
But
those
The
kind
Conjuring.
Blech.
Oh, right, okay.
Just but all of not... those films.
But do you have an issue with those sort of films?
I don't like them.
The thing is, you don't like horror films.
No, but those...
But I think your main issue lies with... it's weird because you did used to like gory horror films, but you don't like gore for the sake of gore now.
No,
which is weird because you quite like Quentin Tarantino stuff.
But I also don't like jump scares. Right. I think they're lazy.
Well, this is it. This is
and
it.
This is what
the
I
problem.
Think a lot of those modern horror films are.
Yes.
They're there to... Basically, I think a lot of modern horror... And I'm, like I said before, we're going to, in October, look at horror films specifically.
Yes, I've got a few episodes planned out.
Yeah, and... But just briefly, I think modern form of modern horror is every film is being created to have a trailer that's in kind of black and white kind of camera, and it just shows the audience going, oh, and it's like, scariest film of the year. Mm-hmm. Real audience reactions. Just people going, oh.
Same thing with Blair Witch. One of the trailers they've released is of the audience reaction shots. And I just think...
But sorry, Conjuring.
But The Conjuring was a better film than it deserved to be. It was probably the best of that lot. I don't mind Sinister so much. Sinister's fairly middling. Mm-hmm. Insidious is just terrible. But, you know, they attract fairly decent actors to them these days. Yeah. So Conjuring featured Patrick... Is it Patrick Wilson? Yeah, Patrick Wilson.
The guy who works with James Wan a lot. Is it James Wan?
Yeah. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. So they play two...
This is Jane, their third film together, I believe.
Yes.
Insidious, Conjuring, and Conjuring 2.
Yeah. And so basically they play these paranormal investigators, the Warrens, who investigated the Amityville case, which was famously covered in Amityville Horror 2, blah, 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 blah. They get a call from the church and say, you need to go to Enfield in North London, mm-hmm. where some strange things have been happening to a family. Daughter's possessed by this man called, something. An old man who used to live in that house, right? Now, the problem with it is, you've got this, and then you've got a sort of side story set against it that directly affects the Warrens. Because this one is just one case that they've been called into. And the only reason they go is because, oh, it's a family in need, and we can't turn down a family in need. Like, what if they die or something, and what if something horrible happens and that's going to weigh on our conscience? Even though they're saying, we're going to quit doing this. They'll still teach about it, they'll still go and give lectures, but they won't go and investigate, because it's getting too dangerous. The wife is worried that Ed, the husband, will die in a case.
Mm-hmm.
The side story has this nun, who you may have seen in some of the advertising, this sort of scary-looking nun. That then plays into the main case that they're following. In such a contrived and sort of joined-up dots way that you just go, obviously this was the only way to do it.
Mm.
But in a way that makes you not care about the entire family that you've been supposed to be caring about, because actually it's never been about them. They just happen to be there.
Yeah.
This film really doesn't work on any level. And I've seen a lot of people say, hey, The Conjuring 2, one of the best films of the summer. Really? Was
it? It's been a very weak summer.
It has been a weak summer, but at the same time, they're saying, oh, this is a really strong horror film. It's not. It really isn't. And the disappointing thing is, I liked The Conjuring. I did. I'd say 6 out of 10, something around there. A little better than average, but hey, for a quiet bang horror film, that's okay. It's not a quiet bang horror film. The Conjuring 2 is. It really is. It goes the opposite way. It goes, everything we liked about The Conjuring, we will do away with that. And what we'll do, we'll make one of those films, we'll make a lot of money, we'll like make a lot of people jump out of their seats. And I was just sitting there going, well, this is just boring me now. Because I've seen this before, and it wasn't good then in Sinister, or in Sinister, or, you know, in Sinister 2, or in Insidious 1, 2, and 3.
They made 3 of them.
I believe so. I think the last one was last year. So what you sort of end up with is a disappointment where you go, this could have been good.
Yeah.
And actually, there have been better versions of this story told, because there was a version with Timothy Spall done for television a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called The Enfield Haunting. Much better adaptation. This just feels so sort of... And again, the idea of it being set in England is ridiculous, because everything about it just screams such Hollywood sort of schlock.
Is it?
It needs to be a quaint British horror film, and it isn't. What it is all the horror films you've seen in the last 5 years that you didn't like, but now we've done them in London, so everyone says, "Core blimey, governor."
Is it The Conjuring that spawned Annabelle?
Yes.
Because they're making a second one of those, even though the first one was apparently terrible.
Well, the first one was terrible, but also made a lot of money, because Annabelle was a very short story at the very beginning of that, and then sort of was a continuing side story in The Conjuring. Yeah. And it was a bit of The Conjuring that I really didn't enjoy, but I can understand why you've put it in there, because it then directly affects the Warrens in the same way that The Nun does. But that's the story done. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do a film, and then you certainly don't need to do a sequel to a film that no one needed. But then they're doing the sequel to Ouija this year as well.
Yeah.
And again, a film that no one needed.
Would you recommend Conjuring?
Conjuring 2? No. Conjuring 1? Yeah, if you want a decent night.
And just as a brief update, the reason I haven't seen any films this week is because I downloaded Rocket League on the Xbox, right? And it's a game, basically, where it's like football, but you play in rocket-propelled cars.
And it is every bit as addictive as it sounds.
It's incredible. You've been playing some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Mark, for example, have just been raging it.
Yeah.
And just having the best time. Like, I've been on there with my brother. So that's why I've not watched films. And there's a chance for next week I won't watch any films either, because I'm going to be playing Rocket League.
No, you're going to go and see some films.
Because I'm going to go watch Neon Demon at some point. There's also a couple of other films that I want to try and catch while they're there. So hopefully I will have something apart from...
Well, Kubo's out.
That's what I'm going to watch on... I might go watch it Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know that when you're listening, but I might go watch it on Saturday. But yeah, hopefully I'll have a review of Kubo and the Two Strings next week.
Yeah.
Even if you don't see it, it's one that really, really intrigues me.
I'm in for it, yeah.
So hopefully I'll be able to review that. I think that's where we're going to have to leave it this week.
Yes. As ever, you can find us on iTunes, where you can rate and subscribe the podcast.
And do rate and subscribe.
Tell us what we're good at. And tell us what we're not good at. We're on Stitcher. We're on Buzzsprout. We are on Facebook, Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. We're on Twitter, Dinosaur Man 15. So if you've got any suggestions for stuff you want us to talk about, particularly in the Sunday episodes, the longer ones.
If there's anything you want us to talk about.
If there's concepts.
If there's anything you'd like us to talk about that's out recently that you want us to review.
Mm-hmm.
Or even not so recently, in the case of things like The Conjuring 2.
Anything from this year.
Yeah.
We'll go through. October is going to be a busy one in terms of the Sunday ones, I think, because I've planned out a couple of episodes already. So it's going to be horror heavy, I think. At the same time, we're always welcome to sort of
suggestions.
Any ideas that you have. If you've got any requests for us to sort of discuss any news, particularly, get back to us and we'll bring it up next Wednesday
on Twitter or Facebook.
We'd like to thank Johnny Neves for the theme song, as ever. What else do we do?
Thank you, Alex. Goodbye.
Oh, thank you very much. You're welcome. Thank you, Andy. You've been very good at listening to me talk about three films that you haven't bothered seeing.
Until next time.
Oh, don't go and see The Conjuring 2. Oh.